On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that old cross, for the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Do you love the cross? I trust that we do. We also love that song. There were some hints of it throughout those songs that we sang. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so we are thankful for that. And today we're going to be thinking about that and moving into the resurrection. Let's pray. Father, today it is our heart's desire and prayer that you would help us to appreciate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and all the implications that it has for life and for living. We pray that today your name would be honored and our hearts would be stirred with the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. And so we pray that in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen. Well, it's official. It wouldn't be Easter without him. You know who the hymn is? The Easter Bunny. It's a Sam commentary on our day, isn't it? It's a salute to spring. It wouldn't be Easter without him. We've got to have the Easter Bunny. I'm with Dr. Al Mohler from Southern Seminary, who says, I can't conceive of a church having an Easter egg hunt. Why would you do that? Why would we focus in on the bunny? As he said, at least Santa Claus is named after a saint. What about the bunny? It's an amazing day we live in as the culture tries to shift our attention from the Lord Jesus Christ. As our culture tries to continue the holidays that used to be holy days, like Christmas and Easter and all those, we want to have all of those and have great celebrations. We just don't want Christ in them. We don't want anything to do with him. And so it's official. It wouldn't be Easter without him. I trust you've come today and you think differently than that. It wouldn't be Easter without him, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you read USA Today on Thursday? Did you notice, is sin dead? Great article. Tremendous statements in it. Is sin dead? No, not by a long shot. Yet, as Easter approaches, some pastors and theologians worry. How can Christians really celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the atonement for their sins and the promises of eternal life if these same Christians don't recognize that they're sinners? As a tremendous article and all the statistics, what used to be sin isn't sin anymore. What we used to worry about and think about and feel guilty about, we don't feel guilty about. It's quite an article here. And even USA Today has to weigh in on the issue. Our culture has shifted everything from God and Christ and sin to all kinds of things. When you came this morning, what were you thinking? When you woke up this morning, who were you thinking of? What were you thinking about? The new clothes you got? The Easter egg? What was it that was focused in your mind? What was the first thing that came to your mind? Well, if you think about it, and you think about the disciples, and that's what I'd like you to think about today, I wonder what was going on in their mind on that first Easter morning. And as we think about them and we think about all that they wrote and all that they said, suddenly maybe we can be reminded of the tremendous impact of Easter. And if you took Easter and all the implications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ out of our vocabulary and out of our life, what would you be giving up? Well, this morning we're going to break the message up into two parts. And this first part, just this, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like you to turn your Bibles there if you would. Without Easter, we would not have a pardon for sin. Easter reminds me, when I woke up this morning and as we sang all those songs, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is crucial to my pardon, the pardon for my sins and the pardon for yours. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen." And he lists all that was seen. Those four aspects of the gospel are so crucial. And when you and I present the gospel to Jesus Christ, that's what we present. He died and it was buried. He rose and he was seen. He died and that was proven by the burial of him. He was raised from the dead and that is proven by the seen by all of those people. And you recognize it's central to the gospel message, and then you drop down to verse 12 through verse 19, and you have these great words. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So there's the key statement. If Christ is not risen, take that out of our vocabulary, take that out of our life, take that out of history. And as you watch the world, the culture, the liberals and everybody else trying to somehow remove the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, somehow it was something else that explains all of that. And it was a weird hope of these disciples that he actually had raised from the dead. If you take that out of our vocabulary and out of our life and out of our minds today, here is what you are giving up. If then Christ is not risen, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if indeed the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead. The greatest words of all of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 are those words, but now Christ is risen from the dead. And you and I understand this morning when we woke up, we thought resurrection. It's more than new clothes. It's more than the salute of spring. It's more than all kinds of happiness and joy. It has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the aspects of him is that it reminds us of the pardon we have because of what he did on the cross. And if he is not raised from the dead, then our faith, according to verse 14, is empty. You love that word, don't you? Anybody have an empty container? An empty life? An empty home? You ever been in homes that are empty? Imagine what it's like to have an empty faith. When there's something empty, there's nothing in it. And imagine to have a faith in nothing. In nothing. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then what we believe is empty. There's nothing to it. It's void of content. How can that be? It can be that because, as you read on, our faith is based upon a message that is preached, was preached there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can see it throughout the book of Acts. You can see it throughout the history of the early church. Our faith is based upon a person named Jesus Christ, and in particular the fact that he died for our sins. You take that away, that there is a man by the name of Jesus Christ who was the eternal Son of the eternal God, and he lived on the face of this earth for 33 years. You take away the fact that he ministered for 3 years, but at the end of that, he went to a cross and he died. And he shed his blood and paid the penalty for our sins. You take that away, and we don't have anything to preach. We don't have any gospel. Have you ever gone to the liberal seminaries? You probably haven't. I used to do that. Love to walk through those schools. Sat in a class. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to deal with. They spend all their time talking about nothing. You go to their library, nobody has checked out a book in 20 years. There's no use reading books. If you take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you take away our message. You take away the reality that he died for our sins and he paid the penalty for our sins. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to get across. So it's not a new problem. It was a problem early in the church in the city of Corinth. They were trying to come up with this new idea. And he said, if Christ is not risen, then our faith is empty. In fact, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. That's the message of the early church. Christ died for our sins and he was buried and he rose again and he was seen. And that is what you find in Acts chapter 1 in the message, and that's what you find in Acts chapter 2 in the message. That's what you find in Acts chapter 4 in the message, all the way to chapter 17. And you find it in the Gospels, but you also find it in the book of Acts, but you also find it in the epistles. And there's nothing to the message. You might as well go home. There's not a thing I can say that has any meaning or significance to you today. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then our faith, it's empty. We're blowing smoke. It's a sham. And if it's empty, if that's true, and some people say, well, it doesn't matter. We still have faith. And that helps us through every day. He said, if it's void of content, here's what he says in verse 17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. It's void of benefit. It's useless. It's futile. To believe in something that's not true, now that's the dumbest thing in the whole world. To believe in something that doesn't even have a content that's worth talking about, why would you do that? I was at the Dunkelbergers the other day. They have a chair. We all have faith in chairs, don't we? Right? Anybody here have faith in chairs? You know what you do when you have faith in chairs? You sit down. You know what I did? I sat down. You know what happened? What happened, Dick? I went to the floor. And then he said, oh, that's the old chair that came out of the basement, has dry rot. Thanks for telling me after I hit the floor. I felt bad initially because I just destroyed his chair. Then I realized he had set it up there for me, I guess. But anyway, when your faith is void of content, it is void of benefit. It is useless. And if you believe in a chair that can't hold you up, that is a useless faith, because when you sit down, you're going to come collapsing down. And if you believe in a message that isn't true, then when you get to eternity, you're going to find yourself sadly disappointed. In fact, Paul lists that for us. In verse 17, you're still in your sins. You see, the greatest truth in my life and yours is this: there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Every morning I wake up with the reality I do not have to worry about my sins. They are taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I face no condemnation. I don't have to worry about eternity. If I were to die tonight, I'll go to heaven. My sins are taken care of. Even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But if Christ is not raised from the dead, then our preaching is empty and it's useless, because it didn't really happen. And I'm still in my sin, and I'm going to wake up one day, not in heaven, where I expect to be. I'm going to wake up in hell. My faith is useless because I'm still in my sins. I haven't taken care of my sins. And as he says in verse 18, those who have fallen asleep in Christ, you think of all those people. And this week we had a funeral. And it's a wonderful thing to have a funeral for saved people. And it's one of the hardest things in the world to do a funeral for an unsaved person. And for saved people, you can talk about these people who are not dead. They just fell asleep. And although their body is here, their soul, their spirit is in heaven within the presence of Jesus Christ. But if Christ did not rise from the dead, our preaching is empty and therefore it's useless, because those who have fallen asleep, guess what? They have perished. The person we buried on Thursday did not go to heaven if Christ did not rise from the dead. He perished. He went to hell. Besides that, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people the most pitiable. We're not miserable, but we are pitiable. You ever watch people who believe a hoax, a false religion, something that's not true? What happens in your heart when you watch them? They come to your door, they do whatever. They're not miserable. They're often very happy people. They often think life is all together for them. But as they walk away, your heart sinks for them, doesn't it? They're pitiable. They believe something that's not true, and they're planning on something that's not going to come. And if Christ is not risen from the dead, then we, of all the people in the whole world, are the most pitiable. It's a sad day for us. When you and I think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning, I hope it reminds me and you of a pardon. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And if you are here today and do not know Jesus Christ in that way, the one who took the penalty for your sin, the one who died on a real cross in a real way and shed his blood, not just to go through physical pain, but to take the full vent of God's wrath for your sin. If you don't believe that, today's the day you ought to believe that. And I suspect if we had time for testimonies today, all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ would stand up and say, I remember the day the burden was released from my life and my sins were taken away and I was set free and I suddenly had hope of eternal life. and the forgiveness of sins. As I said in prayer meeting on Wednesday night, I was with Frances Primer, who probably is going to die real soon. She's the sweetest lady. You go, Frances, and she lights right up. And I said, tell me about your salvation. She goes, oh, that was easy. That was easy. With a great smile on her face, she just tells you how one day she realized she was a sinner. She realized she faced the wages of sin, which is death, eternal death. But through Jesus Christ and simple faith in Him, it was so easy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And so I trust that today we're all rejoicing in that. The resurrection reminds me of a pardon. And if it's not true in your life, that today you would take care of that. Let's pray. Father, our heart's desire in prayer is that we'd never forget the cross, the blood, the death of Christ, and we'd become a people who increasingly appreciate the fact that our faith is not empty and it's not useless. And we are not perishing, and we're not pitiable. But we're a people whose hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We become a people who dare not trust a sweeter frame. We've wholly leaned on Jesus' name. And we rejoice today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have that solid hope. If He had not been raised from the dead, we would never be able to believe that He died for our sins. We'd never be able to believe that our sins are taken care of, because it wouldn't be true. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And all of God's people said, Amen.